Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 606. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I just like to say that this podcast is declassified in my mind.
Yeah. Earl is here.
I got nothing that's going to top that. I'm just going to say that, like, if you listen to this podcast and find Harry's emails, if you find anything else, it's not court. I'm just saying. So keep that in mind.
Jeff is here as well.
I'm just here to fight the bastards for real.
Which bastards?
Andor reference there for all you Star Wars dorks.
Nerds.
That's why none of us got it. Got it.
Yeah, we have the number one Star Wars dork in Philadelphia.
Chris got it. The rest of us are like, who?
Oh, no, who? Let me see. Chris, what do you think about women?
About women? I like women.
Okay. What do you think about Kathleen Kennedy?
Chris cannot She's be fine. The number one Star Wars fan in Philadelphia if he has nothing bad just about women. So you're going to have to find somebody else.
More women. I just watched that Thor movie and was surprised at all the hate it got, because that was fun.
It's fun. It's a fun movie. Is it good? I'm not sure that it's good, but like, I watched it and I had a good time. So
it's a fun movie, and I do think that we kind of set the bar so low with, like, oh, as long as it's passable. Because it's not a great movie. And, I mean, as much as I usually enjoy the performances, Christian Bale was clearly in a different movie. I don't know which movie, but he was in a different movie.
Yes. A much more serious film. He was in a DC movie.
I mean, he was.
Yes.
I liked him, but thought, like, his villain was actually a villain.
Yeah, but you compare that to, like, Chris Hemsworth. Like, campy, goofy.
Sure.
It doesn't match.
Yeah, it's not that he's a bad villain, or I'm not say Christian Bale's a bad actor, but it was a different movie than the rest of the cast.
Yes. And there were a number of people who were aware that they were in for, like, a campy experience. I guess the only, like, why is my brain failing on her name? Lady Thor.
Natalie Portman
is the only character who seems to bounce to both directions.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, she's a legitimately good actress too. So
yes, so she did campy and she did serious, and she kind of bounced back and forth in the same movie. And no one else seemed to do that. So
to be fair to her, that was also her story.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that was the arc for Jane.
Yes.
I don't know. I liked it more than the other Thor movies. So
yeah.
I also am, like, kind of, to me, like, I'm burnt out on the Marvel stuff, and I was like, whatever, I'll watch this. And this was like, it's different enough from all the other stuff. It's like,
yeah,
this is kind of fun.
I kind of appreciate now when the Marvel stuff is different. When the new Doctor Strange movie took more of a horror bend, like, that was fun. But like, then you have stuff like She-Hulk, where it kind of, like, I don't know what this is doing for anyone. I don't get it. I don't.
Oh, now we're speaking like true comic book fans.
I got halfway through Ms. Marvel.
I liked
was good.
I liked Ms. Marvel. I thought it was fun. I thought, again, it was different. It's like you're taking this girl who has a completely different experience from any other character in the Marvel universe and kind of building out this whole thing around her. It was great. It was fun. She-Hulk is not that. She-Hulk immediately is setting her up as the lady version of Hulk, as a lawyer and as a woman. And, you know, that's fine, but, like, it's too, I don't know, there are too many callbacks. There's too much.
I think,
like,
they do a better job with it in later episodes. But I think, honestly, it's by the format, and it dies by the format, that it's very much a sitcom-esque show,
mm-hmm.
which means that, like, it varies from the episode, and it kind of buries the strength of the MCU, which is usually the fact that these are kind of connected. So it's like, oh, okay, this is going somewhere.
Yeah.
And would it be more episodic? It's like, oh, this episode isn't good. This episode isn't good. And it's very funny to watch reactions to it, because I feel like everybody has different ideas of what they wanted the show to be. Because there's people who's like, oh man, I like this episode, and like there's episodes I like and people don't. And I'm like, oh, okay, this is kind of what I wanted. Like decisive like hero stuff. And then you get stuff like I guess like, I think it was the one dealing with her like getting a superhero costume while like doing like being sued for using her name. And I'm like, okay, some of that was interesting. And then this week was like her attending a wedding, and I found that spoilers, I guess. I found that less interesting personally.
Earl hates weddings, that's what we're saying.
Well, to be fair, the show hates weddings too. Like the show makes it a point, like you know, because like, it's also weird because she does that fourth wall breaking stuff, which isn't a problem. It's that it's so inconsistent because it can happen like once an episode.
Yeah. Like I think the show instantly started. The first episode is bad. It's not a good episode. It's not like it's not good storytelling. It's kind of just an entire. Like thing, let's backfill, let's give this is who she is and try to like.
Well, the funny thing with that is like, because you would think like I don't mind it so much, like, but you would think, oh, we're gonna spend this first episode setting up who she is.
Yeah,
and she really
but who she is out. as a Hulk, which is not who she is as a character, which is why the second episode is so much better. Like. Okay, this is her family. This is how she acts around people. This is like these are the people she values, and you get more of a sense of who she actually is, as opposed to this someone who had just had this traumatic experience and is reacting to it.
Did they drop multiple episodes of that?
No, to I guess start one. With,
or was just one. That's also a problem with Andor. Yeah. Just kind of how we tangented to this. That was my fault, but. Yeah, like that. Jeff watched one episode of that and was like, I don't get it. And that's because it does not establish its characters or its purpose until like episode 3.
I have gotten into this habit with these multi-episode shows of like just waiting. Like the first episode comes out, I'm like, okay, I'm going to wait till there are more.
And
They released the first three, you know, at once, and yeah, it's kind of like you gotta watch those first three before it's, you know, kind of.
If they had just dropped that first one, I think the reaction would have been terrible. But the fact that there's three, outside of the critics who have seen multiple episodes, so if they had just dropped that one episode, like people would have been like, "What is this?" Like,
I think. I don't really excuse that. I think your first episode needs to be strong, and the first episode of Andor was like,
it was rough.
Like it felt like the answers. You know, I was confused about certain things, and the answers are in the episode, but they're so like they kind of like run over the answers real quick. It's like, what's going on? Like he says one thing about how you should get out of there and let things cool off, and it's like I was supposed to catch that on the fly and be like, oh, so the point of this is like he's trying to run away now. Like, I don't know. I just didn't think that first episode was very good. But
I was gonna say I feel like that's an issue with like the Netflix model, where a lot of things are designed around like the binge model, where it's like, oh, and they don't like you said, the first episode, like your first episode should be a thesis. Like, what is the show about? What can people expect? And now people are like, no, you're gonna watch this because you're gonna stick around for all 9-10 episodes. So we don't have to tell you anything. This is gonna be a show build because we want it to be a show build, not because it's what's good for the show or like it's good. It's like we can do this, and I feel like that's been a big problem with a lot of streaming shows.
Yeah, it's a problem I think with narrative television at this point. Like it's like we don't need to establish that thesis. We just do whatever we want.
You just need to give me a little bit more in that first episode, because I was just like, one, I was just lost as to like what is going on whatsoever. But it was just like, it didn't leave you like caring about anything at the end. It's like you get all these flashbacks to our main character as a kid, but like no one's even talking in them. And
all in a native language that they're not subtitling.
And you know, it ends with them like seeing like you know, like a ship crashing, and then like they're putting on war paint and they walk off and you're just like, what is this? Like, you didn't give me a hook. Like, what's drawing me? You know, it wasn't interesting enough. Like, I don't know, but they get there. But I thought episode 3 was fantastic, man. Like,
yeah, it's good. I thought like it builds like as those three episodes get, you know, one is weak, two is better, three very good, and like, all right, I'm in.
Yeah, I was very much. I would go further than you, and I could kind of see what the critics were saying about how it feels more like an adult drama and stuff. Different vibe than the most Star Wars stuff, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it still felt like Star Wars to me. It's just a different thing. Like, I do need to listen to some of the conversation around it. I think you sent a podcast today.
Yeah,
I want to hear what they have to say about it, because. Like, I saw some people that we know on Twitter being like, this is what wanted Star Wars to be like.
That's very much what the podcast conversation is.
And it's like, that's not what Star Wars has ever been. And Disney bought this because they're marketing to the same group that George Lucas was, which is kids.
You know what is awesome about Andor, though? And like, the one reason I was going to stick with it no matter what. At the end of Andor, I get to show Melissa the final two episodes, which are Rogue One and Star Wars. I know we're like, I'm like excited for her to watch the series and then show her Rogue One, knowing how Rogue One ends. Like here you go, Melissa, this character that you played.
Well, I was gonna say I'm curious. I wonder if it does end there, if it's like, I know like these things are like quote unquote minis, but like Obi-Wan's a mini, and that's getting a season two, isn't it?
I don't know if they announced that or not.
Okay.
But Andor kinda may get a season two, yeah.
That's also very cruel, Jeff.
you like this guy, Cassian? Watch what happens.
Well, I tried to show her Rogue One once before, and she like didn't care, but she gets more into TV shows, you know, and then like, so I know... By the end of this, she's going to be like invested in this character
who you're going to then murder. I was also going to say,
I mean, I could have been the biasness of the time. I don't remember Rogue One being like super great. I think
it's pretty good.
I think part of it might have been like, oh, we know exactly how this ends because there's only one way this can end for them.
I mean, this has Andor has a very similar feel, I think. Like, yeah. Rogue One is more, it's like getting a group together to go do this heist thing, but it's ultimately like a, you know, a guerrilla war movie in like the back half of it. It's not your normal Star Wars film. It's
pretty wild, yeah. I dug it, yeah.
I mean, it's still distinctly Star Wars. There's stormtroopers and Darth Vader shows up, and but it's a... It's a little more grounded than, you know, normal Star Wars.
I'm finding this to be, again, I kind of agree with what some of the critics are saying. It's like, feels way more adult, and it's more,
but
just like building up the suspense of like, you know, this guy trying to get out. Like, it was like a, you know, it was like boiling over by the end of the third episode, and they're cutting between all these different things. I was like, holy shit, you know, like. I don't know. I mean, I've enjoyed a lot of this Star Wars stuff that people will hate on too. So I don't know. But
I mean, to be fair, I don't know what people don't hate on in regards to Star Wars. You get big enough, you're not satisfying anybody. It happens.
Well, it's like you know, the podcast I was telling you to listen to. I get everything that they're saying about Star Wars. You know, they're basically saying they've been disappointed in everything since. You know, Rise of Skywalker. I kind of get that. Like, you know, I could definitely see, you know, and their main point was, you know, Star Wars these days is like obsessed with just revisiting the past, and it's afraid to like
Star Wars has been obsessed with visiting the past since the prequels. I mean, yeah. Disney has already doubled down on that. I really hated the fact that, part of my disappointment with Rogue One and Solo was like, we're filling in a part of the universe that's already, that doesn't need to be filled in. Like that part between episode 3 and 4.
And, you know, like, technically this is too, but it just feels different so far anyways for me. Like,
I think that that's a lot of it is because the stuff, if they don't hit it afterwards, like they don't hit something good to continue that story. And there's always going to be a group of people that are like, well, I want Luke Skywalker. I want Darth Vader.
Right? How many things?
Right. But there's always going to be like half of your group that like, that's all they identify about Star Wars.
Yes. And that is completely legitimate. And I meant legitimate before anybody gives me crap. I mean, legitimate. And like, yes, that is a fandom where it's like, we want this in a very particular way. Nothing else counts. We want Luke, we want Vader, we want the Skywalkers. But at some point you need to stop paying attention to them if you want.
For sure.
I think that was part of the big issue with the whole new trilogy, is at some point it's like, oh, we never got the original three back together. And I'm like, I get it, but at the same time, I'm like, you know, I really would have killed them off sooner just so you could focus. Because, I mean, by the end of it, the new characters also didn't get much. Like, I don't remember the end of
a big pile, a big mess.
Or Finn's, or not Kyle. What is the other pilot's name?
Poe.
Yeah, I don't remember how their stories end. I don't know what arc they have in Rise of Skywalker.
I mean, the big problem with Star Wars, and it's been a problem since the beginning, is everything relates to the Skywalkers.
That's like with this Andor show, it feels pretty removed from all that stuff, even though you know it kind of like leads to the resistance forming, you know what I mean? Like, but it's like, does. So far I don't think they've showed
Empire
shit at all. Yeah, like
they mentioned the Empire,
it's just corporate affiliate, like,
yeah,
you know,
which is kind of neat. Cool. The Empire's like, well,
they're like in the background, you know.
It makes sense, like if you follow from where the Empire started at, like, you know, there was the Trade Federation. So yeah, they probably like siphoned off part of it to these corporations to do their work for them. And it's also like, you know, corporations suck. these guys definitely suck.
The funniest thing about this whole show didn't have to happen if the guy just listened to his fucking boss who went on like a business trip or whatever. His boss told him, leave it be, make up a story. These guys fucked with the wrong guy, make up a story, and I'm heading out, peace. And he leaves this guy in charge, and he's like, we're getting this fucker that killed these guys. It's like, dude, didn't your boss just tell you to fucking leave it be? Like,
he's definitely ambitious. The main villain guy is definitely like this ambitious.
I feel like he's going to be in trouble.
He just got like half a battalion killed.
He was like, blew up this fucking town doing something that you weren't supposed to be doing. You're supposed to make up a lie. And, you know, he told him to sweep it under the rug, essentially. And he just did not listen. Yeah, he's like trying to, stand out or whatever. I thought it was... it did take off. Like I'm in it now. You know,
cool. Glad you're enjoying it. I like the first three too.
How many episodes is it supposed to be?
That's a good question. I don't know. If it goes as the same as the Mandalorian, it'll be like 12 or 13. But what was it? Obi-Wan was only 6 episodes.
I think it's 10. And isn't Mando only 6 also, or no?
The Book of Boba Fett was, but Mando
was longer.
10 or 13, yeah.
I think that Andor is 10. I think. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Does not. 12. 12 episodes.
Okay.
It runs till Thanksgiving.
I'm sure everybody's excited to tune into our Star Wars podcast this
week.
It's great. Yeah.
Check on Andor.
pretty good.
And the Marvel shifts.
You guys want to see something real different than usual Marvel? Watch Dahmer.
Is that what it's called, or is it called Monster?
I'm just calling it Dahmer. Okay. I don't know. It has like a really long, unwieldy like name
title. Okay, because yeah. I was like heard somebody saying something like Evan Peters is great as Dahmer in this other. I'm like,
it's like Dahmer. Jeff was saying it was called Dahmer. Like, literally, just call it fucking Dahmer. You're good. Like, it's like yeah, it's like a 3-part fucking title when you could have easily just called it Dahmer, and that's what you should just call it. Boy, oh boy, is that show fucking holy fuck, dude. And without being super graphic or anything, it's just unnerving watching it and knowing that all this really happened. It's nuts. He's really good. Our boy Quicksilver there. He's fantastic in it.
I like Evan Peters.
Yeah.
Speaking of unnerving, Rockstar had an unnerving, unnerving
God, weekend. That was this week. Oh my God. Time has no meaning.
It's been a long week.
Yeah.
I think it was what happened over the weekend. And about 60 videos of GTA 6 leaked. Bad.
I have a hard time feeling bad for them. Like, at this point, how long have they been working on GTA 6? Like,
no idea.
When did GTA 5 come out? How long has it fucking been?
2013.
At some point, I feel like we have a right to start to question their ability to actually put a game together, and finally deliver it. Like, it's been too long. But also there has been so many stories about how they treat their employees and how they're forcing up these false deadlines, and they have all this information just sitting there, and the only reason that kind of thing happens is because they hide all this information from everyone. And I just like, yeah, it sucks for a large number of people that this stuff was leaked, but on the other hand, this leak would have never happened if Rockstar's behavior wasn't generally so shitty to begin with. So
they're all upset about it, but how is this going to affect anything?
I mean, ultimately, I don't have any issue with it being leaked. It's more the reaction that fans have taken with that leak.
Yes, and I mean, I guess to be fair, fans are awful people in general. But yes, I did enjoy a lot of developers coming together to dunk on that weird, that one dude who was like, yeah, if you know anything about games, about, you know, like, this is how the final game is going to look, because the graphics are taken care of first, and then everything comes afterwards.
That guy's just stupid. That person is dumb.
Yes, and people try to like brush it off like, oh, he's just being sarcastic, and then folks are like giving out the receipts and like, no, he wasn't, because he doubled down on it. So
I mean, the first thing that I read about the leak was an article that was basically admonishing people. Like, it was like, this leak is bad because, you know, it's bad for the developers, and it's bad for journalists, because, you know, this is how they make their living. And it's bad for fans because it ruins the surprise. And I'm like, what the fuck kind of a reason is that?
I really always hate that reason where it's because like these are the same people who will like. I mean, I don't, like they will listen to Jason Schreier. They will be the ones who are like, oh man, these people just like, you know, like they gave us all the details on the new Assassin's Creed, or we know like the details about the next car. So it's like you want the leaks, you just want them in a way that you want to accept.
Yes, you want the leak in a way that you can monetize it for your living. I get it. I understand. That's that doesn't mean that if that information comes out in a way that you can't monetize it, that it's bad. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
Yeah, it's everybody, there's no such thing as like we don't want these leaks. Everybody wants to see the inner workings of game development. It's and movies and everything. Like, people want leaks.
Yes,
they Otherwise, like guys like Jason Schreier would not have a job because
yes,
like part of what he does is that he breaks stories and presents us to them, and he does it in a more professional way and doesn't dump 60 videos of it out there. But
right,
it's still like we clearly want to see them. Otherwise, you know, these studios and you know, these publications would not do it.
Right, but it is also the seedy side of what Schreier does, right? Like, he also reports on the bad treatment of the employees who suffer because these companies are trying to be so secretive about this information and not let it leak in any particular way. And
oh, yeah, he plays like, both sides.
So he has no soapbox to stand on. Like, he has made his living because this kind of thing is done the way it is. And it could be done better. And like he tries to, you know, lecture the industry on being better and whatever. But he also makes its money because it's not good. Like, if the industry was good, he would have no job.
Right.
Well, I mean, and I know we're talking about Rockstar real quick, but I mean, tangentially related, did you folks see that other story?
Which one?
The one with guy who outed himself as...
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. I love this story, too. Tell us all about it, Earl. Tell us about this story.
So, you know, like I think we've talked about this before, Jeff. Had, you know, we mentioned about this last week with Metroid and stuff. Is that, you know, especially, I think they've always existed. I feel like during the pandemic, it's kind of gotten worse. But, like, you know, those insights pop up everywhere. Who have all of this inside information on the going on of anything else. You know, like, they know what games are. So there was a person, who I guess came out earlier this year called Insider, who was, like, dropping all of these tidbits about games that would then be announced, or you'd hear, like, about it a few days later. Like, he mentioned... I think Saints Row was being, you know, poorly previewed, and he mentioned Silent Hill and some other stuff. And so, you know what he thinks anything of it. I think he was also the person who leaked the names of the Assassin's Creed games, Hex and Red. Mm-hmm. And I think Jason Schreier had said something different. And he had, like, the code name or something like that. We'll get back to that. Why that's important in a second. So I guess at some point, because this is why I have one Twitter account. He forgot to switch accounts, and he responded to somebody using like his actual account instead of the Insider account. Then he tried to backtrack it, and. You know, I mean, like, it's the internet. Like, kind of once it's out there, it's out there. So that happened. Then, to go back to what I was saying before, Jason Schreier then came out, and he was, like, pinpointing, like, every time, like, this dude would play a game, like, the inside would have some information on it very soon before or after. So, like, the Assassin's Creed stuff was essentially what he was doing was breaking embargoes and NDAs.
Yep.
To be an insider on this side. So it's like he didn't have inside information. He had information that he was Ziggy not supposed to share that he was then sharing on this side account. And so, like, Jason did this, and he was just like, oh, that's so weird, because, like, all of these match up to what you were talking about. And so, yes. And then the only reason I found out about it was he offered an apology, and it was probably the most vague apology I've ever seen. Because, like, if you didn't know what was going on, I had no idea what he was talking about. And it was just bananas. But yes, that was, and again, I've just, cause he didn't work for a site. He was a YouTuber, and he had a pretty decent YouTube presence, it seemed.
Like, so very decent, like, very, very good.
Yeah. So I'm not sure why you would give that up to chase internet fame. Like, I feel like I'm missing something here, because this just seems like such a dumb thing to give up a cushy, not insider, but you had, You know, like you were previewing games, you were going to these events, you had their trust, and you break it for...
For what?
Yeah.
For vague rumors and innuendo, and things that you couldn't confirm as yourself. So there's no, like, financial benefit for you doing that to begin with.
Yes. Like, I can understand, like, Jason Schreier, like, that's his bread and butter. Like, you kind of know what you're getting with him in terms of if you are a publisher, like, he's not going to hold back, essentially. He's not going to, like, you know, he's not going to, but that's his job. Your job was, and I'm not saying that you should, you know, knee toe to these companies, but if that's your, again, if that's your bread and butter, don't piss them off. Is all I'd say, but I guess he needed that 30 seconds of fame, and that's all he's gonna get from it.
Yeah, so he's breaking NDAs, which, you know, probably gets him barred and blacklisted
forever.
Yeah, and then that's the thing about the GTA 6 leak that is bad, is that somebody hacked them and
yes, somebody did something literally illegal to get that information.
Yeah. I was kind of unsure. Like, I know it was hacked. That much I know. But it sounded also like I could be like they were able to like trick people into thinking they work for Rockstar, that somebody would give them like a login or access to sensitive information. Or am I misunderstanding that part?
Well, I mean, that's a classic hacking, right? It's not like somebody...
this is the thing, like, you
sit through these things at work. Like, it's not like somebody breaks into your network. It's like somebody pretends to be in your building when they're not supposed to be there, really. Like, somebody impersonates somebody.
But like, they impersonate somebody with a name, too, and they, right. spoof an email address.
It's much easier to hack a person than it is a computer. And like take advantage of like information that you can find that allows you to pretend like you're in something that you're not actually supposed to be in. Like
we had a similar incident with I mean, there was no hack of information, but one of our vendors, they reached out to us and are like, if anybody contacts you saying that our bank details are different, please call us first, because they have hacked our emails and are sending out they have actual invoice numbers. They had all the information. They looked like real people from this company, and they were basically reaching out to the accounts payable team, like, hey, you guys got this invoice, right? When are you going to pay it? And also our bank details changed. It's like, I mean, that's criminal behavior too, but that's probably what happened here, is that somebody spoofed somebody at Rockstar and was able to get onto their server and take shit. Like, okay, really bad.
So I know we've had a lot of tangents today, but for some reason this reminded me of like one of my favorite kind of, I guess, quote unquote hacking stories is, and I guess it's a very common practice, is like, oh God, you know, I'm in a meeting right now and I need to like buy gift cards, but I don't, can you buy gift cards for me?
Yep.
And
send me? I've actually gotten people try to hack me personally like this.
And I'm just like, and again, I feel so bad for, but I'm always like, when I hear that story, I'm like, what do you think of your boss? Is like, oh man, I'm so broken. I forgot to get a gift card. Can you get me one? And again, I mean, maybe when I'm older and I understand this more, because like to Tony's point, like work will send out those phishing emails to be like, oh, we're gonna see who's false for this. And sometimes I'm like, these are the dumbest things in the world. Who falls for them? And
lots of people.
Yes, yeah, people are really dumb.
And I'm just like, oh no. But yes, because like they'll send them and. I've gotten some recently where it's like your Amazon account has been knocked. Please check. And I'm like, okay, but why is like this Amazon like bizapps.com? Yeah. Like that, like Amazon's on my phone. Like if they know how to reach me, and if I need, I'm gonna go to Amazon.com. I'm not gonna go to some weird funky website that you send me in an email. So,
oy vey. I keep getting one that's like your Citibank account has. Have we seen suspicious activity? I'm like, I don't even have a Citibank account.
Right, I get that one too. Like, there's no, I've never heard of your bank. I don't use your bank. Why do you think I have an account?
My favorite is I will get one like, oh, your iPhone's been hacked. I'm like, I have never owned an Apple device. I don't even know. He's trying to know what I'm using, so we can be on the same page here. I want to fall for this, but you're not. You need to help me be an idiot.
I get the one where it's like your District of Columbia Pepco bill is overdue. I'm like, I don't live in the District of Columbia. What is happening?
Why is my bill overdue?
I'm also just going to say, I mean, if you want me to respond to you, don't say my bill's overdue. I'm going to ignore you anyhow. I know when my bills are overdue. If I'm not paying, it's a reason.
Yeah, that's true. Like, if you have overdue bills, like, it's not, oh, I missed one. It's like, I knew about it, and I'm choosing what to pay.
Exactly. So, I've been broke. I know how it works. But yes, that is... But yes, I feel like we've gone on so many tangents. We've brought here. Oh, you talked about the hack so good, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a whole lot to say there outside of like.
I thought the guy came back again. I've not followed this as closely as I should have. I thought at some point they came back and they were trying to blackmail them or something like that, or were they trying to sell the source code? And then they also
they were attempting to sell it. It was the source code for GTA 4 and 5, which is weird because there was a news story that Rockstar themselves sold source code for GTA 5 recently. So, like, this guy trying to blackmail them, I'm going to sell it. Like, Rockstar was already out there shopping yeah, it. So, go ahead. Yeah, so I mean, they were clearly trying to get something out of it, and they dumped these videos, which it looks like a GTA game.
I'm surprised by.
Right. Takes place in Miami, which I think we already all knew. And I think
the big reveal was that, is the protagonist of Teen X?
So they had, yes, so they, there's two protagonists. It's kind of like a Bonnie and Clyde situation, and the female character is Latin some sort. So I guess that did come out, and that got some people angry.
I am
very angry.
People are angry that minorities have the nerve to exist.
How dare you? How dare you?
I mean, I think that the fact that she was, you know, is Latina in some way probably also factored in that, but it was very much that she is a woman, and women are not criminals in GTA, according to people.
Women did not exist in GTA.
Outside of being hookers, I guess.
Like, yeah, right.
And being
in
murdered.
This fictional universe, how could they possibly be right. Whatever the people who conceived this fictional universe want them to be? Doesn't make any sense. And mermaids can't be black either. It's just impossible.
Yeah, because, you know, like the melatonin, the sunlight, the lack of sunlight in the sea, and all this. I'm like, okay, like, when did everybody become a marine biologist?
Right,
he just missed the memo.
Also, mermaids aren't real.
Right, that is the thing. Like the people arguing that that mermaids, like, this character has entered our consciousness, and therefore she is real, she is fat. Like, no. And then they're comparing, like, Ariel to, like, Malcolm X, and they're like, well, she's as real as Malcolm X. No! Malcolm X was an actual human being who was a person who breathed oxygen. Ariel was just a film strip.
And evidently elves can't be black either, so...
Yes.
I'm sorry, Earl. You can never be an elf.
I'm disappointed.
Elf, or Earl, you're an elf in my heart.
I will say, like, if anything, I think Brax will make more sense as elves because they don't age at all, and that glowing skin would just be amazing. I was gonna I mean, I assume this will also come up. I mean, this is part two for Game of Thrones. I also assume that's going to come up next week. Because part of the subplot with that is, like, she's going to start having... I assume that guy's mixed race. And it's like, at some point... Well, I know he's mixed race because his dad's back. Like, those babies are not going to be back.
Oh, is that what's going on in...
House of the Dragon?
Yeah. I have not watched that yet.
I'm
sure people will get angry about that. No worries on spoilers, but...
But, yes, I'm like, yeah, so... We'll see how that goes. But yes, people are fun, aren't they?
That's a word that you used. outside of that, maybe I missed it, but it didn't seem like a ton of news. I mean, it was a news dump last week. One thing I did see that I thought was funny. So Square Enix announced that Babylon's Fall, they're shutting it down, I think, in February. That game just came out in February of this year. GameStop they've removed it from their catalog. So you can't go in and buy it from them anymore. So basically if you get in touch with an employee there before they've tossed them into the dumpster, could get yourself a free copy of Babylon's Fall.
Just ask for them.
Oh, that's actually kind of nice of them. I mean, you're going to take it off on it no matter what. So,
right, they've already written it off. So then Jeff could maybe comment because, you know, being that he worked there. I don't know. Do they just toss them into into the dumpster, Jeff? Or
if. I toss what into the dumpster?
Like if they write a game off and it's we're not selling it anymore, but we have 40 billion copies of it.
Oh yeah, kind of. Yeah, they'll do a thing called pennying it out. You reduce the price to a penny, and act as if you're selling it, like run it through the register type thing.
Got it.
And then it goes into like a box of junk that the district manager will come grab and they destroy it somehow or whatever, you know. But you do have strategy guides a lot.
Come home with it.
Really?
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah, yeah, I got a lot of strategy guides that way. Because I would just...
grab things from the
throw
box.
Throw them out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because... I don't know what GameStop paid for those strategy guides, but it's not much. It's not anywhere near, you know, like a $20 strategy guide. They're not paying anywhere near that.
Probably why they were always trying to push them on you.
Do
you want the strategy guide?
Huge. Like, you know, they're paying like a dollar for these things and selling them for 20. It's like an insane profit margin on that. Yeah, I think that's how that shit would work. I'm trying to remember like an instance of a game like that just became, because there was some during that era that where like a game became obsolete in some way. You know, I can't think of an example, but I think that's what they would do.
Yeah, especially since like Babylon's Fall is an online game. Like you need to be online to play it. So once they shut those servers down, that is basically just a coaster.
Also, I should add, anything I say about like how that company operates could be way outdated by this point.
Yeah. But that was a news story that hit Polygon was about that GameStop was giving them away if you asked for them. They're already removed from their system, so. That's it for what I see as news, unless you guys had something else.
I've honestly not been paying attention this week, so I don't have anything. I'm sure we'll think of something while we're talking, but...
Yeah, I mean, it was... Last week was the big news push, so... With TGS and all the announcements and showcases that they had. But I played some games this week. You guys play anything?
Sure.
Little bit.
Can I talk about how I got fucked by Madden?
Sure.
I mean, isn't he dead?
Yeah.
Weird.
No, not John Madden. I'm talking the game Madden. It does have a hole in the disc, but I did not get the disc version. I bought it digitally.
That's good. I'm glad you're not Fucking the Madden disc.
So Madden has this year this career mode, which I think I talked about when I was playing Madden originally. I'm playing as a quarterback. You could play as several other positions. But you play through a full season on a contract. Then when the season is over, you're a free agent. You get offered all these contracts by all these other teams, and you get to choose whichever one you want and play for that team. And that sounds awesome. You can play for any team that you want. The contract will determine like how many like XP you get every game. Like there's actually a bonus for getting the right contract with the right team. But with my season over, I pick a contract, and every time I pick a contract, the game crashes.
You're just stuck in the off season.
I forever. At some point, I hope they patch this, but until they do, my career as a starting quarterback in the NFL is over after one season because it crashes every time I try to play a second season.
Is this a known bug? Have you seen other people?
I have seen other people complaining about it. It's I am assuming they will fix it, but until they do, like I am unwilling to start a franchise if these kinds of bugs are in the game.
Because you don't want to invest, like, you don't want to play through a season or two seasons or three, and then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, you can't advance anymore. Just
you're done.
To crash.
We've decided you're finished. So,
early retirement.
And it's annoying because the game doesn't even crash. What it does is it just drops you out of the mode to the home screen of Madden.
It's like a soft crash. Like just this portion of
just
the game.
Just this one little particular. It's broken. You can't play anymore. Sorry, you're done. And every time you reload it, there's this cutscene. Like, so you made it through your whole season, and this guy who's your mentor is talking to you and he's telling you all about how this is your decision now. I trust your judgment. Go ahead and pick a team, and it crashes.
Well, every time you talk about Madden this year, you push me further away from Madden.
I honestly, like, at this point, I'm like, is this the worst Madden I've ever played? It might be the worst Madden I've ever played.
That's a shame, like, too.
Worst
like
Madden
the one...
ever played so far.
You never know about next year, right? You just don't know.
Especially in a year that, like, is celebrating, you know, the title person.
I mean, maybe it should crash. Like, it's crashing in celebration of how Madden's life crashed.
Wow. Wow. Is that where we're going with this podcast?
Went dark.
I don't even know.
I've broken Jeff.
No, but I was thinking the same thing as Chris. I was actually thinking of getting this one because I'm like, oh, they're celebrating, you know, they're bringing it back. You know, bringing
they
it back.
Are. I think, you know, maybe 3 months from now, maybe you're looking at Black Friday. Maybe they patched all this stuff
out
by then.
Maybe, yeah.
But God, do not buy it now. Do not spend your money.
I'm good.
And then in like 4 months, it'll be on Game Pass. So
yeah, I might just wait for that.
We'll wait till February.
Like, yeah,
right Super around the weekend Super before Bowl, Super Bowl.
Yeah, a couple games. And that's all I really need. I'm not super into this. Most people.
You play anything else, Tony?
I have been playing Jeff's game of the year, Expeditions Rome.
Wow, he sounds super excited by that.
Which is this, like, it's gosh, why is my brain? It's an isometric. I can't even speak now. Isometric RPG, where you're controlling like Roman soldiers, going through these like story based missions, overlaid with this grand strategy game, where you're commanding a Roman legion and sending it out to conquer territory and commanding it in battle. So it's got these like two completely different modes, both of which are really well done and really interesting. The battles are based on, like, it's like a card game where you're like, there are these different categories and each card you play fits into a certain category and boosts certain stats. And those stats will determine how well your legion fights in the battle. Most of the battles, like, I mean, I pick my battles, so I'm fighting against enemies that are far inferior to me. So most of them, you can't lose no matter what, because you just outnumber the enemy so badly. And it's really, it determines who wins based on who has more troops left at the end of all the rounds of combat. So like, oh, I'm going to send my legion of 4,800 men in to fight 1,100 people.
We will win even if we lose half of our people.
That's right. It just doesn't matter. You're not going to win. So there's that part of it. And then there's a really, really cool isometric RPG where you're playing through your, you know, having characters leveling up skills, kind of in a similar way to like XCOM. You do have a set of core characters who are like people from the story that they've constructed for the game. But then there are additional characters who are your Praetorians, who are like legionaries who you do develop on your own and are completely independent of the story and get developed, you know, how you want to develop them, which is kind of cool. You can also cycle them in, so you can use them as like commanders in your legion. So your legion has like four officers who you can like cycle through. So you can use some of them for guiding the legion in combat, use some of them in these isometric RPG missions, which is kind of cool. The other thing that's really cool to me, and probably just to me, this game is so steeped in Roman history. I'm talking like classical Roman history with all like the Roman pronunciations of all of the words and like a really good sense of Roman history and Roman culture, and not in this sort of pseudo I kind of think what Rome is. Like, whoever built this game really, really knew Roman history and Roman culture incredibly, incredibly well. So I kind of nerd out when I'm playing. It's kind of fun.
You probably didn't build it in a day.
And it's on Game Pass, so you can play it for free.
You hear that, Jeff?
Jeff's all in.
Anything like Elden Ring. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Exactly, because it actually sounds like a good game that's fun to play.
Yeah.
As opposed to Elden Ring.
Yeah, I'm sure. I was honestly tuning it out. I didn't hear anything you said.
It's okay. I have so many strategy games coming up, Jeff, that are better than Elden Ring. You can't wait. Wait until we bring back Mount & Blade Bannerlord 2. That comes back next month for its full release, finally.
I mean, those sound like words. I don't know if they form a sentence, but they sound like words.
Victoria 3? Come on.
Wait, is she... No, Elizabeth 2 just died, so... What sequel or prequel is this?
I mean, we've had a couple of Victorias. Maybe we need a third one now. There's got to be a new monarch. I mean, we can't stop with Charles III, right?
I mean, we could.
I mean, historically, if you look at Charles as King of England, it has not gone well. Not at all.
He's like, what, 70-something?
Yeah, he's not going to be around for a while.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Charles I... beheaded by rebels. I mean, the roundheads.
I think
captured him, cut his head off. Charles II abdicated the Glorious Revolution because he sucked and everyone hated him. Charles III, I'm expecting a similar performance. I really am.
I think old age will get him before anything else.
I don't know. Those people who he's making like move stuff around on his desk, I think are going to kill him. They're going to stab him to death with a letter opener.
That would be something. It would probably piss Jeff off to no end if, like, there was another royal death and he had to listen to 10 more days of...
I mean, to be fair, 10 days of mourning is a lot of mourning.
Yeah,
dude. I feel like it's... Is it over yet?
It's over. It ended on Monday.
He was buried on Monday.
Thank God, man.
It was nonstop though. Like anytime you turn on the news,
the lead lion coffin is in the ground now, Jeff.
This is what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like I think they overassume how much people do care about it. Like honestly, I think the news is. I don't know. Don't get me started on the fucking royal family, dude. Just let's stay away. Fuck them.
All right. Well, Victoria 3 coming up from Tony.
Yeah. More royals.
Speaking of a Jeff game, Jeff, you remember when you went on your little rant about shit coming out on Xbox? You went through the coming soon games. What the fuck are these games? So one of the games you mentioned was a game called Metal Hellsinger. You were like, what the hell is that? And
I don't even remember that.
Yeah, you were like, I've never heard of this, and probably not. It's a $25 indie game.
That was the other piece of news that came out this week. Sorry, you mentioned indie game. Mm-hmm. I don't know if any of you remember the YouTuber. I mean, remember, he still exists. Donkey?
Yes.
Yes. Because Donkey is an expert in publishing video games.
Yeah, not just publishing video games. He's really going to publish good video games.
Yes, because he knows all about it.
Because everybody else is like, we want to publish bad video games as well as good ones. But he has a secret.
I don't understand, like, you know, whatever. You want to start your own publishing label, go for it. Dude, you know, you do you. If you have the investment capital to do it. I am wondering how he's going to publish only good games, because, like, isn't that what most publishers aim to do?
It's what most people aim to do. They want to have just good things. It doesn't mean, like, you could play something that's going to be fantastic and people just don't jive with it. And you're also setting people up to have that expectation now where, like, the first bad game you do is just going to come back to bite you and your company in the ass.
Yeah. I just don't know how you do that. Especially, like, if you're taking the approach of, say, like, somebody like Lionsgate or A24 in movies, where, you know, they fund some of their own stuff in-house, but they also will go and they'll buy the rights to movies at, like, film festivals. Maybe that's, like he'll get a game that's already finished and be like, yes, I like this. This is good from the Donkey perspective. I just don't know. Very weird. But good luck to the Donkey. I think I've seen like one of his videos.
I've seen some of his videos. His sense of humor is okay. I mean, it's not, but yeah, I'm kind of curious too. It's like, because it's one of those things where, like, it happens, but you, when you're a critic turn like creative, like, is he like, are you biased? Like, do you then go ahead and make videos mocking the games you then release? Because that seems only fair.
Yeah. But Metal Hellsinger, which Jeff does not remember criticizing the name. it's an indie game. It's out. It's on Game Pass. It's also on everything else, I believe. It's $30. I thought it was $25 for some reason, but it is a game that looks like Doom. It takes place in hell. You fight demons. You have a shotgun. But the gameplay mechanic is that the attacks are all done kind of to the music that's playing.
Interesting.
So it's like you're trying to time your, if you, not that like you can't do it off beat, but if you do your attacks on beat, they are more powerful. And off beat, they're less powerful. So you end up takes longer to kill enemies, and, you know, kind of the objective here is to, you know, move through, kill things, do as much damage as possible, because there's hordes of these things. So you want to kind of cut through them as quickly as you can. It's a very interesting game. I am terrible at it. I'm better at it now that I calibrated the game to my display setting. But I'm still not great at it. Like, I think the best I've done is like a 10 note streak, 10 attack streak. There's like an achievement for getting like a 50 hit streak. So, but really cool looking. The music, actually, it's not like music I would listen to outside of this, but it's very Doom-ish music. Like if you know the music from the new Doom, kind of sounds like that, and you're trying to match your attacks to that. Has this little kind of like bar that comes in, and if you hit them as the arrows cross into it, you'll get like a boost on it. So neat game. I'll keep playing it. I'm only a couple levels in, but Jeff, since you like Doom, that might be one you might want to give a try to.
I will never.
No.
Made up game.
Jeff's already given it.
Is that made up game? I also finished Saints Row the Third Remastered, because Saints Row, although I did get an update for that game this week, so maybe it's fixed now. The new Saints Row?
Sure.
Yeah, we'll see.
That's what they always say.
Yeah.
Abusive relationships.
I mean, they said that Cyberpunk was fixed, and that still seems to be broken from what Tony said. So yeah, Saints Row the Third, though, that is a fun video game. I think some people mix up what happens in 3 and 4. Because I've heard people talk about stuff that is in 4. They act like it is from 3, and they talk about stuff that's in 3 that is not in 3. It's stuff that takes place later in 4. Anyway, by the end of that game, you are a superhero. So it makes full sense why in Saints Row 4, basically, you can do whatever the fuck you want, because that game had already gone way off the edge.
Yes, it jumped the shark in a way that I don't think 3 did. I think 3 embraced the silliness. I think 4 started at the silliness, and then there's nowhere to go but more silly.
Yeah, and I mean, if you don't like the silly of it, it's not going to work for you. I've really enjoyed 4, and playing through 3, I was like, oh, this is fun. The thing with both of those games is that, one, they're for open world games, the main story is incredibly short. You could probably finish that, both of those games, in like 10-15 hours.
Which actually I prefer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, compared to like GTA, which is like a 40 hour game. Or Red Dead, which is like 60, being able to complete like the entirety of the campaign in 10-15 hours is nice. The other thing about it is that a lot of the missions in both those games, like actual story missions, are just setting up to do the side stuff. So it's like, go come here, and all right, you meet with like this luchador guy, and he has a quest line that you're following. And that quest line is just introducing you to a bunch of side stuff, like drive around with a tiger in your car, or, you know, go do the, where you go out in traffic, the insurance fraud, where you're like,
fraud, yes.
Yeah. Which is basically just the crash mode from Burnout, but with a body.
Body?
Like you just throw yourself. You're not crashing. You're just throwing a rag doll in front of things. You're not crashing a car. You're crashing your body.
And you want to keep a streak going by bouncing off of different cars and getting aerial. Basically, you don't want to stop the momentum. So it's like really good sometimes. And then you want to run and jump in front of it. It's actually really do enjoy it.
It's neat.
It could be in a pain in the ass because they do it, and they don't necessarily always populate the areas with a ton of cars. So it's like you flying and trying to change the camera to see like, oh, is there anywhere I can kind of add to keep this going for a bit?
Yeah, it's like, where's the biggest intersection I can get to? Like, and do I have enough time to run there and then extend a streak long enough? Anyway, that game's a ton of fun. I think the remastered version looks great. Fun stuff. And it's like generally on sale every other week for like under $10. So if you are a Saints Row fan, that might be the way to go instead of this new one, which is maybe still broken. Anyway, Jeff, you play anything this week?
Not a ton. Just a little more Disney, a little more Splatoon, and I started playing that Klonoa collection.
Did I read that you hate the Disney game now? Is that a?
I mean, I was just. You got I was getting stuck. Upset. Yeah, I was getting upset because had a couple missions going, and the missions in like. The Disney game are a little more involved. Like they, you know, they're usually multi-step missions and they'll require you to get like collect all these different things. Right. And so I was collecting things for these two different missions and I was short one item on each mission I was doing. And my inventory is completely full with items. And I was just like, God damn it. Can I find this fucking last item that I need so I can clear out my inventory and move on with my life? And, you know, sometimes with these games, like, you know, these Animal Crossing type of games, it's like, well, if you need a certain flower, you gotta, like, turn the game off and come back and hope the flower, like, grew again, you know? So it was, I was just getting frustrated with that. But, no, it's that game is actually very good for what it is. Like, if you're into that type of game, it's like Animal Crossing, but with, like, more... like kind of character cutscenes and like way more involved missions, so to speak.
I think I have it downloaded and I'm gonna give it a shot. That sounds something that I could be into. Like I think most part of my problem with Animal Crossing is that you know you have your tasks, but like that's it. Like once you're done them. You kind of don't have anything more and they're all pretty simple to do. It's like, you know, get X amount of money to build this house for this person or, oh, this person wants you to, you know, get, you know, find a gift or something for them or bring me a fish or whatever. So if they're a little bit more involved, even if they're just collection quests, like that could be a little more gamey, I think. And I think you are more into the like, build up your community life, right? Like,
I don't know. I think the again, I think 90% of these two games are very similar. And, I'm fine with both takes. You know, it's actually kind of like a thing that I think Animal Crossing could improve on. And they kind of did with the Switch one, like where it was like for like the first 40 hours or so, it really felt like more driven to do things. And then it kind of opens up. It's like, ah, just, you know, have fun, do what you want. You know, just, I think they could have deeper, I don't know. I think they could improve on the like character interaction stuff. Even just like the dialogue between you and characters and you know, build on deeper missions than just like, hey, can you go get me this? You know what I mean? Like, which, right. You know, the Disney thing is kind of doing that, but it's like, go get me this and go get me this and go get me, you know what I mean? It's like, get me several things. And then like, you're like involved in doing all this fucking manual labor and shit. Like, all right, I got to grow some carrots. You know what I mean? Like if you just, it just feels more involved. Like you're just like,
More things to do.
Not just going over to some other character's house and being like, did you find the lost thing? I don't know. Like it's
yeah, it's just like, a little more game to it than
yeah, a little more. And you know, you get the Disney characters and you know, they're not always doing full dialogue, but they do more. I mean, Animal Crossing has no dialogue, like actual dialogue, you know what I mean? Like you know, more spoken dialogue, more kind of cutscene type stuff. And interesting idea two is like you're unlocking parts of the town as you go along, where in, you know, Animal Crossing you always have the whole town. Like,
well, you do unlock parts of like the back half of your island when you get like bridges and stuff, but I get your point.
I think there's things that Nintendo could learn from this game, which is a crazy thing to say, but
I mean, I think that's true of a lot of games that kind of like, I would say the same thing about a lot of kart races and stuff they can learn. The stuff they can learn from the multiverses.
Yeah. But I think at the end of the day, Animal Crossing is the better game of the two. Like, just it's je ne sais quoi. Like, I don't know. It's hard to put into words what it is about Animal Crossing that makes it better. Because on paper, there are things that are like clearly superior about this Disney game, but I don't know, it's just that Disney or that Nintendo magic on Animal Crossing. But anyways, yeah. Game is good. I mean, especially if you have Game Pass, it's no-brainer.
Well, could you mention that game? But you just kind of like briefly mentioned you were playing Splatoon 3.
Yeah.
Also, I would denote that we actually have not talked about that on the show. Because that was all new.
Well, you gotta play it. Have you picked up your sticks and played it yet?
Yes, but I mean, you glossed over it. Like, we haven't talked about it, so you could talk about playing the game.
Yeah.
So what do you think of it so far?
Like I said last week, I was kind of unimpressed. I think as I've gotten deeper,
talk about it, Asik. That's what I'm saying.
Jeff just gave it like briefly mentioned it when we were.
I think it's grown on me a bit since.
What have you played?
I've been on 5 of the 6 islands, and I've played a little bit of the standard multiplayer mode, which is
Splatoon.
You know, it's like whatever team battle or whatever it is. You know.
Oh, Turf War. I know what you meant, but I mean,
Turf War. Turf War. Yeah,
it's more Splatoon.
Yeah, and
the primary mode, right?
Yeah, like the main, you know, there's other multiplayer mode. Like,
yeah.
It's the main, like, you have 2 minutes to cover as much ink or whatever, you know.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't think that, you know, on either side of that, it's, like, really doing anything new from Splatoon 1 or 2.
No. I think it is refinement, refinement, refinement.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say, and I probably take it, I feel like the campaign is the closest thing Nintendo's done to Galaxy since Galaxy 2, in terms of like every level just kind of being something slightly different. Now, it's not the same and like, oh, we're just going to like go balls to the wall, but the fact that they are able to kind of use that stuff to create this variety and like, okay, here's a stage that you have to get through by just like sneaking around everybody. Here's a stage you have to get through by just using like the rails. But in order to activate the rails, you have to like shoot certain barrels on it. So you have to like be shooting. It's kind of like an on-rail shooter, I guess, where you're trying to do that and navigate the spaces. The ones where it's like, this is a giant maze. You have to navigate the space to find people or find keys to unlock different stuff. There's ones where it's like, okay, you know, like find all these enemies and defeat them. And I'm like, I like that each level, like you don't necessarily know what you're getting. And I do like that as you progress, it's also like you can go back and now this stage that you know, if you beat with the spatter shot or the hero gun, as they call it, you can now do it like a bucket or like a Swiffer. And that adds a different type of challenge because those weapons have different ranges and different abilities. And I like the fact that I guess because I've not played a ton of the Octane expansion from 2. People said that's more similar to 2's expansion and like how like you go in and you pay them a price of do the levels, you get the abilities and stuff like that. And I really like what they did with it. I think it's a fun way to do the campaign. I will say this is, I mean, outside of 1, the stories are pretty much the same. I think like humor can carry you so far. and they do make fun of it. I think we've done this before, but it's like, yeah, you can say that, but you are doing it again, so.
One thing about Splatoon is, you know, it's very, like, stylish, you know what I mean? Like, I guess if that makes sense what I'm saying, you know, again, like, it's very distinct style.
I think it's probably one of the most stylish video games on the market.
But every fucking level looks the same. It's all like these metal fucking things floating in space. So for all the the fucking with the music and the bullshit, it's and like the way the characters look, it's like the levels are kind of. They'll have like an idea in them in gameplay wise, but they're like boring to look at after a while, if that makes any sense. Like,
I get what you're saying, especially if you play multiplayer, where it's like, oh, you're in a mall, you're in a skate park, you're in a multiplex. It's like, oh, but you have interesting level design. You can use, you know, you can reuse those assets and create these stages. Because see, like, you have like a very, I mean, I guess part of it is the contrast with the paint, but you have very sterile. Like all the environments, like a silver metalish, or like a brown, so you know what you can paint. But it's like, yeah, it is very much like, oh, there's grates here, and it's like, okay, it's like it reminds me a bit of the special stages in Sunshine. They had backgrounds, but those were basically like, you just had the background.
It's just like stripped to the basics to let you play. The gameplay idea that they had, you know what I mean? Like it's just uninteresting, and they're, I don't know, man. The game is growing on me, but it's like Splatoon feels very set in stone now on what it is, and it's a very specific aesthetic, and it's the levels are there's a lot more levels. It feels like in this one for the single player. It's been so long since I played two, so maybe that's wrong, but there's so many optional levels that you don't have to do. But they're all like these 2-minute things that are just like these metal, like fucking squares floating in space, you know, or in the air. Like it's just, I don't know. It's good. I'm having fun with it now. Sometimes like the levels can be pretty clever in their design and they'll have some like interesting puzzle or something to it. You know what I mean? Sometimes I've run into a boss that gave me a little bit of trouble, but
I like the variety in the stages, so I get your point and I agree with it. It's just that I think you mentioned the other thing, it's like they're so short that I don't pay attention to it as much. Because it's like you're in a stage, like these stages can. I think some of them you beat in like, I mean, there are literally ones where you beat in like 2 minutes, like the one where you have to just survive waves of enemies trying to crush you. And it's just like, yeah, survive here for 90, because I'm like, okay. But yeah, it is really weird in contrast to the rest of the game, which is very, I mean, the characters are very stylish. I think even the overworld is kind of stylish. Again, very similar to Sunshine, with that goo you have to clear off, and stuff like that. Like I feel like in some ways this is the Sunshine successor, and like, you know, like you took like the, what was it called in Sunshine? It wasn't paint. It wasn't goo. I forget what it was called. But like the stuff Mario would have to clean off, and this one you're just spraying it on, and then using it as you know, a bit of a weapon, a bit of a traversal. A bit of a stall tactic because it also slows down enemies and stuff like that. I really like the Splatoon games. I think they're really clever and well done products.
Nice.
Good. It's a good game. And the multiplayer, I don't know, it's such a unique identity from any other shooter. You know what I mean? Like, that's what makes it neat, like, you know, despite the fact that I'm probably not very good, it's fun when you get a good match going on that or whatever. Like, I don't know, like, it's fun even when you lose, you know, And it's different enough from other things, so.
Yeah, and I think because, again, the matches are, like, 3 minutes, a little more than 3 minutes with intros and stuff, that it's, like, one of those things, like, okay, we can just do it again.
Oh, yeah. I very easily am getting sucked into, like, we'll do it again. And
honestly, you know? they fixed, I mean, okay, my second biggest issue. The biggest issue still remains the same thing that's always been, and I still don't know why intent, like the fact that there's always only two maps in rotation. So like you end up just having the same two matches for like 2 hours. So it's like, okay, I get bored of it after like half an hour. But the fact that like you don't have to go through all that talking every time you start the game is such a godsend. I mean, I just kind of press the button so it goes up in the corner. Don't care what you say. I'm gonna go play multiplayer. I can see what stages they are. I don't need you to run it down for me. I think it's a fun and clever way to introduce the game. I think it ties into the world because everything kind of ties back into that central plaza. The fish from the story mode will power the plaza later on and stuff like that, which is great. But I dislike anytime you play the game, you'd have to go through like a 3 minute introduction of like, these are the stages in Turf Wars. Here's the ones in, what the other three modes, the ranked modes are called.
But yeah, like, I hate that shit.
Like, yes, thank you. Move on. Carry on. Like, it's still mandatory to Stat Fest and updates, but that I feel is slightly different. But the fact that I don't have to listen to it for map rollout is just like, oh, thank heavens. It took you way too many games to figure that out, but I'm happy.
Let me just hit skip. Don't care. Give me the fucking new maps. Cool. Just the Klonoa collection, which is... I remember those games being good, and holy shit, they're pretty fucking awesome 2D or 2.5D platformers. Like,
it's more of like kind of like what Pac-Man World was. Okay.
But actually good. Like, I know, I mean, Pac-Man is okay. Pac-Man World is fine, but have you not played it yet?
No.
It's fucking solid, dude. Like, well, I didn't play enough of the first one, and then I just, like, skipped to the second one. I am loving Klonoa 2. Like, first off, the thing that, like, sets us apart from the other 2D platformers is instead of, like, jumping on enemies, you have to grab them. And grabbing them is also how you do a double jump. So you have to have, like, an enemy in your possession, and you double jump off the enemy to get your double jump going. So that's like the unique.
It's like you jump with them and then you.
Yeah, you're holding the enemy. You let them go when you double jump off them.
Got it.
And then you'll do like things like sometimes there's something on the floor below you have to break. Well, when you double jump off the enemy, it sends the enemy down and busts through the floor for you, things like that. So there's like clever puzzles within it, but also just like for being stuck on a 2D plane, essentially, boy, does it get creative with that. And like, it makes you wonder like why the 2D Mario games aren't like, don't do anything interesting like that. Like, just like where you'll be like bouncing off springs where you jump like 100 feet in the air off the springs and the camera is like up above. It just looks crazy. Like, it's just awesome looking. Or there's like these things that you could grab, like they're like kind of like an enemy or whatever. And once you grab them, you're going to shoot up 100 feet in the air, but the camera will go below you and it'll be like, make sure you line up where you are. Cause like find the hole in the ceiling of this, you know, room you're in. And then you just go fucking flying up and it just looks so cool. Yeah, it's just like, yeah, a combination of like really some really cool puzzles, but also just like really cool 2D, like 2.5D level design that you're like, why do other games that do 2D, like, why are they boring compared to this? So yeah, Klonoa is like, I feel pretty, unless you don't like the feel of like the actual like controls and the platforming and that like double jump type of mechanic I was talking about, I feel pretty confident that you're gonna dig this game.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm really, I'm happy that it's like a kind of like a 2.5D type thing.
I'm just happy my memory was right, that it was good. And it's like better than I remember. Like, I'm like, oh man, this is like really cool platformer, you know? It's very deliberate. Like, it's not a, again, I can see you like not liking the feel of it. Because you're like, you don't move fast like Mario. You don't gain momentum like Mario. It's just, you walk very slow and you're grabbing enemies and jumping off them. But like, just because the level design is so cool, it doesn't, it doesn't matter. Yeah. So, I'd be interested to hear what you think. I think they're really cool. Like, they're like, if you're a platformer fan, you should check it out if you've not.
All right. Earl, you play anything else besides Splatoon?
I don't think I talked about Xenoblade when I got more into, or maybe I talked about it before. I've just spent more time with it, and like I said, I think it opens up more, and I think it becomes a much better game after. I hate being that person who's like, oh, it's a much better game after the first 10 hours. But like, once you kind of have all the, like, I'm sure more mechanics will open up, but like the core mechanics open up after like the first 10 hours. Like, one, you don't get your full party until like hour, I don't know, like 5-6 hours in, maybe earlier than that. Which, I mean, to be fair, in most RPGs, you don't really get your full party till near the end of the game anyhow. But like, this game makes a unique change in that you have 6 core characters and you control those 6 characters throughout the game. And you get them early on. You'll get additional like partners you can add, but like, the core 6 remain the same. And then you get the Ouroboros. Or I forget what they're called, but you can essentially, you can merge and create these giant robots, and then that kind of gets introduced early on, and then it unlocks fully for you at the end of chapter 2, which was about 10 or 11 hours in. So like, the, once those kind of core mechanics are in, like, the game makes much more sense. Again, I've played Xenoblade 1 and 2, so the combat system is kind of a mixture of those, kind of taking some of the elements, taking a lot of elements from 1. And then simplifying some of the stuff from 2 that I enjoy, but was very overly complicated, because 2 introduced like elementals, and it introduced like the combo system still in there, but I think they got rid of like, you know, water, ice creates something, and like water, fire is something else, and all that other, which just added another layer that I don't think you needed. And also not, you know, so what this one does to kind of alleviate the fact that you don't have grades is that each character can kind of adapt different classes, which is not a new thing for RPGs. And then you can master each one, which is getting it to level 10, which is slightly different than your actual XP gain. Because like right now, I think we're around level, again, I'm still kind of early in, I think we're around level 20. And all of my core characters so far have maxed out their original form, a secondary form, and then like halfway through a third form. And then what that means is then you get master arts, which, I'm just realized how insane this sounds talking about this game, but these are arts that kind of stay with you no matter what your class is. So it's really good to have. So when you switch up, you know, so you know, like each class, you can give everybody in a way, get every a form of healing, give them like an aggro attack, or give them an area of effect attack that will kind of stay with them no matter what class they are. And it, I think in some ways, early, especially early game, it helps kind of balance some of the characters. Because there are healers who don't really attack much, who have some attack, who have some form of attack now, and you know, some defenders or some tanks who can now kind of self heal in some manner. So that helps out. But other than that, I mean, it is. I will say, I think even at this stage so far, it feels like the weakest game in the franchise story wise. Because I really, it's not that I don't know what's happening. It's not anything important happening right now. Like, the first one's driven early on by Shulk's wanting revenge for his childhood friend dying. The second one, you're kind of going on this quest to figure out what's going on. This third one, like, you're just kind of in a party who are on the run because both of your factions want to kill you, but like, there's not much else to it right now. And you got introduced to the villains, but I'm still not really sure what their MO is or why I should care. So there's that. So yeah, I mean, Xenoblade continues to be fun to play. Story right now exists. Outside of that, let me see. I think I mentioned I started Halo 5, which...
Yep.
Yes, Halo 5, Ghost Recon, Shade of Spire, continue to play. I just put some time into...
Question on Wildlands, since you were playing it.
Yeah.
And I've just started playing that with a group of friends. So we did like the first run of missions, which is like
the one where you have to get the drug dude.
Yeah, I think so. Or is it? It's like a husband and wife or boyfriend girlfriend you're hunting down.
Yeah.
That's kind of where we finished, but then there was not like a big giant thing that's like, here's all these people you have to go hunt, and like there's like a path to the big guy in the middle, but there was no mission marker for what we're supposed to do next.
So this is where it's a weird progression system, is that basically it kind of forces you to do side missions, because there's some side missions you do, and as part of your reward or part of, you gain intel, and the intel is usually like, you can gain intel on like maybe like enemy like zones or stuff like that, but some of them are also like, oh, you gain intel on like this person, and that's the next major story beat. So it's not like you complete story A, B, C, D. It's like you complete A and B, then it's like you have to know certain side quests to complete to gain the intel to then tell you like, oh yes, you can now go to do C. And I don't think we're doing it in any type of order, but we stumbled upon that because like, it's like, yes. Cause like the side missions, I think are like brew or something like that. And then the main missions are IO missions, and you'll get that as a reward for certain side missions. And it's a very weird system that I don't think they do a great job of explaining, but I think they want you to explore the island and complete these quests. So.
Okay. Yeah. Cause I was like very confused. Cause normally like when, you know, you complete a, you finish off a story mission, it's like, here's the next one. And you can go do like the 17 other icons that are directly around you. But normally there's like, this is your main quest. Like you should get to that. This was just like, okay, well, good job on finishing that quest line. Have fun, I guess. Like, wait, what? I'm done. It's 2:30 in the morning. I'm stopping playing this, but. When we play it again, I kind of wanted to know how to progress.
Yes, I mean, if you wanted to, and I've complained about this before, like, I have that friend who does that stuff, where he'll go in and he'll just, like, do a bunch of that stuff, and then we'll go back. It's like, oh yeah, we can go X, Y, and Z, and this is where we go. And, I mean, some of it helps, because, like, he's far enough now, like, he can summon helicopters whenever he wants. Well, not whenever you want, because, like, you summon a helicopter, and if there's, like, vehicles nearby, people are like, you don't need anything else. You got, like, that's essentially they're saying, like, you basically you can't summon, you got things nearby. But, like, yes, it's nice to kind of be able to get helicopters and traverse the land much sooner. But I do miss some of the grind. And also, I don't know if you've experienced this or not. Apparently, all of the enemies in this game have pitch perfect aim.
Oh, yeah, they're perfect.
It is insane. I will be in grass and like somebody will somehow have spotted me and hit me 3 times and run down. I'm like, okay, you do you. I'm happy for your aim, but this is not fun. I mean, it's fine, but it's just really funny how good their aim is.
I mean, I guess it is a Tom Clancy Ghost Recon game, so.
Yes, and I think we had this discussion before. I had, like, my friend's like, oh yeah, it's so realistic. I'm like, yes. And the next minute they said that, I drove a van up the side of a mountain with no tire traction. And they're like, oh yes, this is very realistic. Okay. Well, we jump off the mountain because there is fall damage. You can actually die from falling too high. Mm-hmm. But it's not really that much. If you can jump pretty high and survive.
And I think if you're in the car, as long as your car doesn't blow up, you're fine.
Yes. There's a lot of stuff in this game that is not realistic.
Yeah, it's a bit goofy. And like that's kind of the fun part of it, is like when you're playing with friends, like you're just like doing dumb stuff. Like driving up the side of a mountain or jumping off of cliffs and stuff. Like it's that's part of the fun of playing like an open world game like that with friends. So
yes, and at some point you do. I just got the ability. You do open up the ability to, like, if you're in a plane or a helicopter, you can skydive out of it. So it's like, yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, they don't give you parachutes right away. You have to unlock a parachute.
Who needs parachutes?
That was a good one because
stop asking for too much.
We jumped into a helicopter and historically, like, we just do dumb stuff when we're playing. Like, we played all through Breakpoint, and they give you a parachute right from the start in that game. We would do dumb stuff like hover over the mission objective, and the pilot would just jump out. So it's like the helicopter would either jump out or you crash in the helicopter that's going down because the pilot is gone forward. Uh-huh. If you don't have a parachute, though, you're gonna go splat.
that reminds me of two stories we had the last time we played. Is that there are certain missions? I don't know if you come across any of these. Where essentially, like, the enemy's on the bunker, and you're supposed to, like, set explosives and, like, throw the door so, like, you can go in. But then you have we each took a door, but I'm like, I'm gonna set an explosive, then I'm gonna go in my helicopter and shoot the explosive, so that I then have the helicopter gunner to kill the enemies. I was too close to the explosive when it went off. So the helicopter,
blow up your helicopter. It's awesome.
Oops.
And I'm like, wait, what happened to my? I'm like, oh, like it wasn't even. It was that I had thrown two explosives down, shot one, that blew up. The other one blew up at the same time, and like the force of both of them knocked the helicopter down, and it was destroyed. But good enough, I was close enough to the ground that I didn't take any damage. The second one, similar story. It's like, at some point, enemies get helicopters that can actually chase you down, too. And they also get anti-air missiles at some point. And they shot us down, but they shot us down over water. And, like, it was so weird. Like, we survived, but, like, one of our friends got crushed underneath the helicopter and couldn't move. Because, like, it was just on top of them, and there's no way to flip it because it's a broken helicopter. So, eventually, I think they had to warp to us or something like that. But I'm like, I like those experiences where it's like, it could be buggy, who knows, but it's like, it's really fun because it's like, it's just like one of those really immersive and stupid stories that shouldn't happen. Like, I was still so mad at myself for blowing up the helicopter.
There are bugs, but it's not anywhere as buggy as Breakpoint was. And they're not game breaking either, because we were pulling up on this one little village and I overshot the stop. And so we ended up in a ravine and we're trying to get out. And we both end up under this bridge and with no way out of the bridge because it is fenced off on both sides. So we're literally just stuck in there. So you either have to kill yourself, and I was out of grenades, and what we found out is you can fast travel to your partners.
Yeah, the problem with that, and I don't know if you've run into that, is like you can fast travel. It does not mean it puts you next
no,
to them.
No, it puts you in their vicinity. And in their vicinity could be 200 like meters away.
Yes. So I did that. The first time I did that, I'm like, you think fast travel? Like, okay, we're just going to land. Like, no. Like, they were like on the other side of the mountain or something. Like, okay, I'll make my way over there, but I don't get why you put me here. But you do you. You do you, game.
It is a fun game to play with other people for like that emergent like nonsense that you kind of described. So, well, thank you for explaining how to advance the game, because we're going to be playing it again soon.
It's kind of, and it's four players, because for some reason I don't know why in my head I always think Tom Clancy games are like three players. Where older, like I should say, the Ghost Recon games, I think the older ones were three players.
That's possible. I mean, the last Rainbow Six game, Vegas, was, I think, two players.
I was gonna say Extraction, I think, is three. No,
Extraction is three, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, thank you. You play anything else?
I think that's it for me, aside from, like, just repeating stuff. I'm going to ask, I'm assuming no, because none of us downloaded Deathloop yet, right? Or none of us have played Deathloop.
I downloaded it.
I downloaded it. I haven't played it yet.
I have like a stack of games now. Surprisingly,
well, 2 weeks ago you were complaining you had nothing.
I have a digital stack. I have, you know, outside of like the Disney one and Splatoon that I'm playing, I have Deathloop to get to, and I wanted to check out that Immortality, even though I'm not 100% sure I'll be into it.
Interested to hear your take on that.
Yeah, you played it.
I've played his games before.
Yeah, I see. You have an idea.
Yeah, and it's an interesting. I wonder how it plays with a controller, because I played it on my PC. I played his games on my PC before, and it's definitely very like clicky and need a keyboard. So you're typing stuff out on a controller if you need to type. If you don't have a keyboard set up, so interested to see how your play with that goes.
Plus, there's Time Lancer 2, which you're probably super excited for.
What was that, Tony?
Slime Rancher 2.
Oh, yes. Out in early access, right?
That's right.
Just launched.
I had to step away for a second. Did Christopher talk about finishing Tinykin? Or was it?
We didn't talk about Tinykin last week, did we? Because we just did news.
So, I know you beat it.
I did. Yeah. I 100%ed it.
I saw that as well. I saw an achievement that you had 100%. I was like, whoa. So I'm assuming you liked it at least a little bit if you did that.
I did like it. It's like, as you said, like the levels are like super huge, like sprawling. They're really neat because you're like exploring different rooms in a house. And they're themed after that. So like if you're, you know, in the kitchen, yeah, it's kind of like a, you know, like, oh, you're trying to build a cake. Like that's your main mission.
But the,
getting like, the ingredients.
The little like kitchen is like so massive for you and so many nooks and crannies. Like, that's the thing that like blew me away about it, is like how long you could explore a level before discovering every part of it, you know? Because you kind of like, if you play like me anyways, like you just kind of run around like crazy, just like finding shit. And
yeah, and if you're trying to get everything, like that can make it hard to go back and find.
yeah. But it's wild how like you could be exploring a level for like a half hour and then still find, oh, I've never found this corner, and here's a bunch more shit in over here. So yeah, are you as high on it as like me and Sean were? Like, I think that's one of the best games of the year. Really,
I really liked it. I don't think I'm quite as high on it as you guys were. I think for me, I just wish there was a little bit more. I don't necessarily mean combat. Like, there are zero enemies in this game, but just something that like pushes your use of your Tinykins in like some sort of robust way. Cause in the end of it, it is almost always, you know, find the thing you need and create a path for them,
which to is get like
where you need to go.
In Pikmin, that's like 80-90% of the game, but then Pikmin did give you the bosses, you know,
right?
What I mean? So, and this does not give you that.
But yeah, I think there, like, there's no bosses. There's nothing that, there's no like final like here like test, like we've taught you all this stuff, like we've taught you how to use the electric ones or the explodey ones, but there's nothing that kind of combines them all for like some final challenge.
I wonder if rumors of Pikmin 4 got out and they pushed this game to release this year before they were ready, because they knew they couldn't compete, but they had that kind of aspect in mind. Because it kind of seems like you could use these Tinykin for that.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's, there are, like, little puzzles throughout, right? So it's like, you use the electric ones to power up a fan and that, or a light bulb, and when you light the light bulb, it, like, affects something else in the room, or you can power up the toaster and press down the bread, and you pop the bread and you need to bring that somewhere. Like there's like there're different things that happen with each of the Tinykin. It's just nothing like, here's what you need to do to complete this final challenge. It's And it could be, Tony, because I think the final level feels really rushed. There's only like four explodey guys in it. There's this guy Gasper, who is he when you go up to him, he says boo. That's really all that's in the final level. And it's like, oh, you got to blow up this thing, and you talk to this dude, and he's like, all right, let's go on our spaceship and get out of here. And it's this huge attic area that like just looks kind of unfinished in the grand scheme of everything.
It's clear, like, get this out. It's good, but there's some stuff here that's not quite done.
Yeah. I mean, it's a wonderful game. I will say the one thing I don't like about it is the way, I can't think of the main character's name, but anyway, he is always facing you. like it's this weird kind of like looking over his shoulder at you as he runs. It's very creepy.
Which could also be the game not being finished.
Yeah, it's like we didn't finish the model on him, because everything else looks great. It's just this one guy just looks a little weird. But overall, Jeff, I really liked it. It's fun. I thought the platforming was fun and interesting. There's one challenge in each of the levels. It's to get this gem. It's basically like a ring pop that you got to go find. And they're actually pretty challenging. Like they give you some sort of challenge to it. It's normally, you have to like use a couple different skills, whether it be, you know, sliding across the silk or doing some like, ratchet slate, like, you know, grinding, or trying to avoid like timing stuff as you're jumping or avoiding like different traps. But yeah, there's like stuff there, and that's a fun challenge to get that one, but it's so short. It's normally, those are only like 2-3 minutes long. It's like, I just wish there was maybe just a little bit more that gave you something to do with it, because otherwise it's just go collect all this stuff and like look at how big all this stuff is, and it's really neat looking. And but once you get enough of your tiny kin, like you can basically do anything in that level. So
I mean I fleshed the game out a bit more, you know, but what is there though, like there's things that it kind of streamlines from Pikmin that are pretty cool. Like the way you could just like, I think it's just like those ones that stack, you just like hold down the right trigger and it stacks them all.
Yeah. Really smart design on that stuff.
And like, you just climb up automatically. The way it knows which type of tinykin you want to use when you're doing something, like in Pikmin, you're always like having to switch which one you're using, and this is just like knows, okay, you're trying to do this, you're trying, you know,
right,
if you're throwing them at this thing, it knows this is the type that you need, you know, so that like there's like weird things like that. I don't really necessarily need Pikmin to copy that, but it just felt like a cool, like it just felt so smooth compared to like if you're used to playing a lot of Pikmin, like it just felt so smooth compared to that, you know.
Oh yeah, that stuff super smart, like
yeah.
Because like you have two different types of Pikmin, a tinykin you can throw, and like it knows whether you want to throw the explodey one or the carry one.
Yeah, it's like then, you're playing this strategy type thing, and it's just like, yeah, we know what you're trying to do. Like,
yeah, it's like there's no reason to manage, you know? Like zero reason to use the electric ones unless you're near an electrical outlet.
Yeah, yeah. So then, and if you are throwing one near an electrical outlet, it knows that. Like, it's okay, we throw it out the blue one or whatever it is. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know. I really, that was like one of the few games this year where like when I was playing it, I was like kind of obsessed with it, where it was just like, that was the only thing I wanted to play while I was playing it. And I had to get through that game before I could touch anything else. And it pulled me away from like several games I was playing. I was just like, this is it for right now.
The lovely little game that, glad Tony kind of talked you into playing, because then you talked Sean and myself into playing it. So
I hope it's a kind of a hit. I really do. I want another one. I've never played
a better place.
Played a Pikmin clone, and I think that's selling this game short, but I've never played a Pikmin clone that was actually good. You know, this is not Overlord. This is fucking good. Like,
you're welcome, Jeff. You're welcome. Bow down to me now.
Yeah, I hope it does good too, though. Yeah, and it's like a perfect Game Pass game, like something that, like, I don't know if I would pay $25 for that, but like, I will definitely give it a try if it's on Game Pass, and you know, the good word of mouth probably is getting other people to try it, whether it be on Game Pass or on Steam or wherever. So it's neat. All right. Well, we will not be back next week, unless you guys are going to do it without me. I'll be at a show.
But... say that, and that never happens.
Exactly. So we will not be back next week.
Okay. I had one piece of news that I would before you.
Damn it, Earl! We did news earlier. Fuck?
I know. I was like, this is going to be something we missed. And it was that Ted Lasso and Richmond AFC are coming to FIFA 23. I might play my first FIFA game, just because I like the idea of being able to play Ted Lasso and his team. It looks like they motion captured Jason Sudeikis, and too. So that's really nifty. I don't know what their stats would be, because technically speaking, they're not a great team.
No, they shouldn't be great, but they should be fun.
Yes, it should be fun and different. I don't know. I'm hoping they do like a mini story mode around it, because I think it would be like, part of Ted's charm is Ted's charm. So yeah.
Yeah, it'd be weird to like, here's this team that you don't really care about as a soccer team. If you don't have any of the personality of that show there. That's neat. And that's coming to the new FIFA?
Yes. It should be out now, I think.
Oh, okay. I did not realize FIFA was already out.
This week, I think.
That's one that I will wait on.
Yeah, I would hope it's Game Pass, or EA Play, I guess, technically. And then this isn't news, but I might as well, since we're going to be off next week. By the time we record next, it should be out. It comes out that Thursday. But we finally got word that the teaser for the Super Mario Brothers movie will debut at New York Comic Con on Thursday, October 6th at 4 p.m. Eastern. So yeah, 2 weeks from now, we'll get our first glimpse of the Super Mario Brothers movie. And I'm not going to mince words. I'm extremely anxious about this. So we shall see what it is.
All right. Well, we will be back to talk about that in 2 weeks. Hopefully it turns out to be a good trailer. Not that Nightmare Sonic trailer that was the original one. All right, yeah, so we will have stuff to talk about then. Not sure if there's any other games coming out in the next little bit, outside of Tony's, you know, strategy games that seem to be multiplying every week.
And they're all coming out at the same time. It's fantastic. There's some I haven't mentioned yet, but we'll get into those.
It's okay.
And then we'll be into October the next time we're here, so... I'm gonna start playing some horror games. I have that Tormented Souls that Jeff played through earlier. Try that.
Hope you enjoy.
Yes, and then I think September, October starts strongish with Mario and Rabbids. I think it's the first week. I hope.
October has some stuff coming out.
Has Bayonetta. That's it.
Yeah, but that's the back half of the month. And then it has like God of War, or is it God of War November?
God of War is November. But it has you just said Mario and Rabbids, Bayonetta, Scorn, which is the, you know, the big horror game that's coming to Xbox. There's is it Gotham Knights also in October?
Oh yeah, that is an You know, you would think as a huge DC fan that that game would be on my radar more than it is. But then I've seen the game.
No hype around that game, it seems.
It feels like that game should, we should be seeing it everywhere by now if it were good.
Like, it went gold a few, yes. I guess.
And it's this like game should be huge. It should be on billboards everywhere. Like, it should be advertised. I don't know. Either it's good and they're failing it miserably as publishers, or it's not good.
And they're just dumping it out.
Yes.
And that 4v1 Ghostbusters game will be out in October as well. Which, if we are lucky, we will get review code for that. So,
ew.
We will see. That's like middle of the month, though. So yeah, we'll be back in 2 weeks. Jeff, say goodnight.
Good night.